Hello, and welcome to the Cambridge Assessment Podcast. I'm Alana Walden, and I'm here to introduce a special series featuring presenters from Cambridge Assessment's Summit of Education. We are anticipating the future of learning, and in the second episode, Kate Bailey from the Centre of Evaluation and Monitoring talks about preparing for the future and specifically looks at the significance of a child's first year in school.
So I'm Kate Bailey and I'm a Director of Policy at the Centre for Evaluation and Monitoring. And something that we really pride ourselves on in CEM is our use of good, high quality evidence and also production of that evidence. And what I'd like to talk about today is the a piece of research that we did looking at the impact of the first year at school. And that's a study that we did in 2018, and that was based on the use of one of our assessment products. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about that. So the research evidence is quite clear that early childhood development is linked to later educational and health outcomes. And longitudinal studies have shown us that interventions put into place in the early years can have a lasting impact. But we don't actually know very much about the next year, which is the first year of formal schooling. There haven't been so many studies in that area. What we do know across early years and the first year in school is that development at that time, childhood development, is particularly malleable. And as a lot of studies have repeatedly shown that when you put interventions in place at that age group, it can yield long-lasting and really beneficial benefits for children. So what we wanted to do was to look at some data that we collected from our assessment and answer two questions. How well can an assessment of the type that we do predict later outcomes at GCSE? But what's really important question was, to what extent does the importance of that first year in an effective reception class, what kind of impact does that have on later success up to the age of 16? So the data for the study came from two places. It came from our baseline assessment for four-year-olds, which at the time was called the Performance Indicators in Primary Schools Assessment, which has since been renamed, and that's now called the BASE assessment, which is still part of our portfolio in CEM. And then the second source of data came from the National Pupil Database. So we matched those two together to make sure that we had a good coverage of pupil level and school level factors. And the sample consisted of children who began school in reception in English primary schools, and then we followed them through their education into secondary schools. So we started way back in the early 2000s with a sample of around 47,000 children. And then the study looked at the children who we managed to track right through to the age of 15, which was about 40% of those children. So it's a large sample. So I'll just say a little bit about the measure again. So this is the Performance Indicators in Primary Schools Assessment. And what that does is it takes an assessment of the children's abilities within the first few weeks of them starting school, and then we reassess them again at the end of the year. And they're assessed using this assessment, which is a computer adaptive assessment that's administered by an adult with a child at a laptop or a computer. And the following areas we're covered in that. So we look at reading, which consists of things like name writing, vocabulary, letter and word recognition and reading, and also mathematics. So early ideas about maths, counting, number identification, shape identification, and so on. The assessment is a very clever assessment. So the questions are ordered in difficulty in the assessment. But as a child begins to struggle, or when the assessment becomes too difficult, the assessment moves the child on to the next section. So no children feel like they're struggling during this assessment, and they really enjoy doing that. It's a bit of quality time with the teachers, but also a good opportunity to have a good go at some questions on the computer. It's a really engaging format. So what we did when we got the results of the baseline assessment back was to look at how we would define an effective reception class. So what we said was that where school level progress, so as in progress that a school made, was more than two standard deviations above the mean residual, so the mean amount of progress made across those schools, then they were classified as an effective reception class. So that's one where they're making greater progress than the rest above two standard deviations. And then children from those classes, we found demonstrated statistically significant progress at key stage one. So children in the classes where they made greater progress in reception continued to show higher levels of progress at key stage one. And then when we tracked them through to GCSE, they still were making greater progress than those peers almost 12 years later. And the statistical detail about that is that they made progress 0.23 of a standard deviation greater than their peers for English and 0.1 of a standard deviation for maths. So what does that tell us? I think we need to understand a lot more about what makes an effective reception class. Is it a particularly effective teacher? Is it that they're particularly inspiring teachers, or they're particularly good at spotting individual differences and needs in children? Is it something about the school culture or leadership? Is it about funding, and schools that are better funded go on to show greater progress with those children? So there's a real need to understand more about the factors which might be affecting the progress. That's actually quite problematic because the progress measures change. So although our assessment that we took the baseline measure with is a constant assessment and it's one that doesn't vary, so it's a very reliable baseline measure, the outcome, which is Key Stage 1, Key Stage 2, GCSE results, that's changing a lot. And obviously a recent example of that would be the GCSE reform that's happened in recent times. So how can we get a valid measure of progress when our outcome measures fluctuate so much? So I think there's a real need for a more stable ruler that we can use to measure the impact of educational interventions. And I don't think that that means necessarily having every child assessed more than they currently are, but something like the international assessments like PISA, TIMSS and PIRLS, using something of a sampling framework, just sampling the educational attainment of a handful of children in each school across every year of their formal schooling, could tell us so much more about what is successful, what is impactful in terms of education, and how that we can identify that, and that can be rolled out into other schools so that all children are able to benefit as much as those ones that did when they were in those first years in school in an effective reception classroom.
Thank you for listening to the Cambridge Assessment podcast. You can find all our podcasts at cambridgeassessment.org.uk. Just search for Podcast Gallery. You can also find us on YouTube or wherever you usually listen to your podcasts.